Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. We're at ML Rose in Inglewood. Joe is looking up where he can get crackle.
I am.
So many jokes, but I'm just going to let it go. Excited to be here on this Halloween. Let's bring in one of a scary wide receiver back in the day for Ohio State and the Titans. Chris Sanders is on the line with us. Also assistant coach at Montgomery Bell Academy.
Yes,
Chris,
sir.
What's up? How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. Does Joe have on his mask, or is he playing himself?
Chris, if you could see him right now, you would run and hide. He is he's Mrs. Roper from Three's Company.
Oh, Mrs. Roper?
Yeah. Or
why can't he be Mr. Furley? Why can't he be Mr. Furley?
That would be a good one, but I don't have a members-only jacket. Also, I could look like Bobby Boucher's mom, so I'll take you the one.
Wow. No, I like it, man. I like it.
It is a good one for sure. So we'll start with this.
Yes,
our question of the day is the scariest athlete of all time. Who was a scary athlete that you went up against?
Greg Lloyd. Oh, my gosh. Hey, well, I played against him my rookie season, and I ran like a little shallow cross, and he almost knocked my spleen out. And as I'm laying on the ground, I lift my hand up for him to help me up, and he swats it and starts cussing me out. So I'm like, dude, can I get a little bit of help? I was going to write him a note and tell him I'm sorry and I'll never come into your area again. I mean, that's how hard he hit me.
Greg Lloyd from the Steelers. Doesn't his son play or did play?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. He did.
And also, he's a black belt in karate, so I'm not going to fight him.
I wouldn't fight him. Yes. Going into this weekend, you know, the trade deadline's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I mean, how tough is that? And I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where there's just like a lot of uncertainty in the locker room. You already know the coach has been fired, so the staff's going to change. There's going to be a lot of changes in the off season. But approaching this trade deadline, what's it like on the Friday before?
You know, it's a little tough because it's the uncertainty that knowing if you're going to be here or not. But it's funny because the locker room, you know, 2 weeks before, and everybody's kind of laughing and joking and kind of having fun. But when that date gets closer and closer, guys are more quiet and more focused because nobody knows who's going to get traded or not. So as a professional, I just had to handle it like I was staying there the whole time. I would go out and practice, go to meetings, make sure I was there on time, and just did what I can control. And if you can't control it and you get traded, then – it just is what it is.
Talking to Chris Sanders this afternoon.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, man?
Hey,
listen, I'll be at the game tonight. I'm working for Fox 17. So I'll be at the NBA
this time, man?
Innsworth game. What's that?
Are you gonna say something to me this time? I waved to you last time. You kind of shoved me out the way.
Last time you had your goons toss me to the ground. So don't even talk about that. No, it should be – look.
Yeah.
I mean, excited. Friday, you're a high school football coach. I mean, this is the last game, regular season of the year.
Ooh.
I mean, it's butterflies, excitement, right? You get all that tonight like you're playing the game.
Yeah, it is. It's so much fun because, you know, NBA and Israel don't like each other. You got to understand that the Hasselbacks over there. So I love them as people, but they want to kick our butt and we want to kick their butt. So it's a lot of stuff that goes into this rivalry with Israel. They have a great team, great coaching staff. But, man, I wish I could put on these cleats and put on these shoulder pads and put in this mouth guard just one more time to get after it.
Right? I think they should. Here's what they do, Chris. I think the NFL should do this. You should bid on getting one chance to run down the field on you can't do kickoff anymore, but on a punt team, had the highest bidder. I guarantee you there's some guy out there that'd pay $10 million to get on a punt team just one time.
I would love to, but if you had some older guys like me, you'd have to have 911, you'd have an oxygen tank. I wouldn't finish it because my hamstring would pop, so it wouldn't work. But, yeah, man, it's just – you made a great point that – just the feeling of Fridays, the feeling of Sundays that actually get a chance to play football. And sometimes when we're in the thick of it, we're like, oh, I don't want to practice and I don't want to do this and do that. But when it's gone, man, I wish I could just run one more play, one more hitch route, one bubble route, one go route, because you love the feeling of catching a pass and just playing football.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk about the Titans now. Cam Ward and those two good receivers you got over there and the good tight end.
Yeah.
All the rookies over there. Is there a tendency when you're 1-7 and you don't like the play call to go rogue? I don't think it's good to go rogue because like, that play sucks. So how do you stop these young guys who feel like, man, they don't know what they're talking about, going rogue? Because I could see it beginning a little bit because his team is so bad.
Okay, here's the thing. You gotta understand who you are. Cam Ward can get away with it. DK can't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You just got to understand who you are because, you know, just like that fourth down play that we saw last week that everybody wanted to go for and he was yelling at the coach, DK and Alec Alluminer, they can't do that. I mean, they can't yell at the coach and say, we need to go for it on fourth down. You just got to understand who you are. And I think with Cam Ward, even though he didn't like the play call or even though he didn't like that they didn't go for it on fourth down, it was yelling at him to go for it, not out of disrespect.
Who, you know, it's funny. We talk about these coaches aren't going to be here come January because whole new regime comes in. You still hope, though, they're getting coached up, right? I mean, it's fine line right here.
Yeah, they are because you can look at, you know, DK and Alec. Those guys are finely tuned wide receivers. I think they run some good routes because I actually watched them in practice, you know, about 6 or 7 weeks ago. I watched how they run routes. They understand the technique. So I think in that position, they're getting coached up well. And at the end of the day, when they're bringing different coaches in, they're going to bring their technique in. So, you know, they're getting some good coaching, but at the end of the day, they got to take what they learn and take the good and the bad with it and just go forward from there.
I don't know if you saw it last night, but the Miami Dolphins ran a play on the goal line. They ran a fade route to the back of the end zone with their 5'10" running back against a 6'4" defensive back. Why do you guys call that play? Why?
I would have never
called that play.
Why would you do that? It's kind of like you lining up flanked outside and you running a go route. It's not going to work. I mean, you're going to get jammed at the line of scrimmage. I mean, why are you? You know, I think they were just trying to outsmart somebody, but how are you going to outsmart somebody when you have a 5'10 running back and a 6'4 corner? I mean, you're trying to look for matchups, which is great, but 9 times out of 10, a running back's not going to win a jump ball on the fade when you're 5'10.
Right. How much press coverage do they play in high school? Because I don't know. I'd like to know how much they play.
None. I mean, there's some teams that have great athletes, like Innsworth have good athletes, Baylor has great athletes, and Macaulay has great athletes because they can come up and press. But when I was in high school, I never heard of press coverage. All I knew was cover three and cover two, open over the fields, open a one safety high. That's all that I knew. So when I got to college, when somebody pressed, I'm like, what are we doing? I mean, why is this dude on me like this? I mean, because I never experienced that. So I think it's really in tune that kids at a young age understand all the coverages, cover one, cover zero, all those things where it's pressed. So now when they get to the next league, they understand how to get the guy off the spot. They understand how to stack him. They understand how to win with your eyes. But if you've never been pressed at the line of scrimmage and you get to college, you're going to be like me, like, what is going on here? So I had to learn that and adapt to what press coverage was.
Chris Sanders is with us on the Chase and Big Joe Show. I want to go back to some high school football for a second.
Yes.
Do the kids you coach realize – how lucky they are to have you as a coach is to have, and I mean that as somebody that you know cares about them, but somebody that played in the National Football League, somebody that played in the Big Ten. Yeah. Like, do they recognize the teaching that they're getting from you?
They do, and I appreciate that compliment, Chase. That what you said means a lot to me, and they do recognize that. Sometimes they go back and watch my film, but they're going to listen because I've been there. I've been in the college. I've been in the pros. I understand the technique. I understand how to win the line of scrimmage. And it's funny because there's a receiver that I coach now. His name is Carter. And this is so beautiful. He's consistently talking to me. He's consistently saying, hey, coach, what about if he leverage here? What about this? What do I do with my eyes? How do I handle this? And I'm just like, man, he's soaking it all up. So everything that Les Steckel taught me, I get to teach him, and then I get to watch him develop into a great receiver. That's why I love coaching right there, because you're developing kids. You're taking the DNA that you have in you, and you're injecting it into them, and you're watching everything that you was taught, and they're doing the same thing. It's a beautiful sight to see, man.
Will you please explain, and I know the answer, Chase knows the answer, but a lot of people don't, the difference between track speed and football speed.
Yeah, it is. See, the thing about track speed is you can run fast straight, but you can't run fast with your pads on. You can't get out of your cut. It's just like Nehemiah. I forgot Nehemiah. He was a big-time hurdler that went to the
Olympics. Yeah, Reinaldo Nehemiah, yes.
Thank you. He tried to come out and run track, and he's running so fast that he can't stop on a dime.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? That you're just defeating the purpose. You can run, but you can't stop. You may have straight forward speed, but you got to have football speed. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Look at Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice ran a 4.7, but when he got out of his cuts, he was 4.7. There's a lot of guys that run 4.3 that get out of their cut and they get out at 5.2. So that's the difference between having track speed and football speed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Willie Gault is a very underrated receiver.
Yes.
He went to Tennessee, played with the Bears. He was a track guy, but he learned how to play receiver.
Yep. There you go.
And that guy was like you. I mean, you had to learn how to play receiver, right?
That's beautiful, because when you say you learn how to play wide receiver, because in college and in high school, I got away with just running fast and jumping over people. But then when I got with Les Steckel, he taught me about how being a complete wide receiver. Let's start with the first phase, getting off the line of scrimmage, getting a guy off the spot, stacking it. Let's talk about the second phase, basing everything off the line. Then the last phase is what you do at the top of the route. Lie with your eyes, different stems, you know, beat me back to the sidelines, coming back to the football. All these things that I didn't learn until I got into college, and in pros, and then I get into the league. That's why my game skyrocketed, because I understood it's not just about running fast. It's about understanding that being a wide receiver is a craft.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because you see the combine, like, this guy ran a 4.18 at the combine. Or, you know, when John Ross ran it from Washington, and the Bengals, like, I'm going to take him in the top 10, and he's terrible.
He's terrible.
Here's my thing. Can you run about a 4.7, 4.8, and then can you take a hit? If you can,
there you go.
All right, let's go. You're on my team.
Absolutely, you can take a hit, but also it's understanding how to create separation. Let me give you a perfect example. Just imagine if you have bracket coverage. You have one guy up top, one guy at the bottom. Who are you running the route off? You're running the guy off the guys on top. So learning those things, how to create separation, it's more than just running a go route, running a post route, because they're going to put a safety over top and stop that. That's why Jerry Rice and Derek Mason, all those guys, are so great at what they do, because they're a complete receiver.
Chris Sanders with us. Hey, enjoy tonight. I know playoffs are coming up, but last one of the regular season, and we'll make sure Big Joe behaves.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to kick him in the shin.
Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it. Love y'all, brothers. Bye-bye.
You too. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. That sounds like most of our dates. After we talk to him.
Are you there? Hello?
Hello. We'll react to some of the things that Chris said, and also on the Titans. Vandy in Texas coming up this weekend. Tennessee, Oklahoma as well. Chase and Big Joe live at ML Rose here in Inglewood on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Halloween, All Hallows Eve, on a Friday. I think Halloween is so much better when it falls on a Friday.
Of course, yeah.
Like you know how there's certain holidays that kind of match up with days of the week? Like, obviously, Thanksgiving is always a Thursday.
Is it?
Yes.
I thought it was always on November 25th.
Well, that is not true. And you know that. But, Christmas changes. It's always December 25th. But Halloween, to me, just feels like a Friday holiday.
It should be, yeah. A lot of parties tonight and tomorrow night. And people having a good time around.
Yep.
Wait, I thought Christmas was on the fourth Thursday in December. Am I got this backwards?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think I do. You're good, though.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. Adam in Portland, he may know. He's called in. Adam, what's up?
There's no way he thought that.
No,
December 25th, man. There's zero chance he thought that. hey, quick question for you. I want to advocate for Jim Schwartz just for 2 seconds here. By the way, I don't know who answered the phone, but he didn't know my name, which he did not do any homework.
He's new.
Show.
He's new. He's new.
Okay.
He's new.
Adam from who? I'm like, oh, dude.
Easy, anyway, easy, so, Adam. Easy.
Yes. So Jim Schwartz, doesn't Jim Schwartz make too much sense for a job? Because, dude, honestly, like, he went through it with Mac. He moved with the Titans into a new stadium, which we're fixing to end up having to do again. Like, he brought them from nothing. You know, he was part of nothing, which I understand. It was Greg Williams and then Jim Schwartz. But he makes too much sense for me. Like, you need an adult. You need somebody who could deal with the crazy Adams family. And he understands them, too. So I like Jim Schwartz for a pick. I know they won't do it. But he makes a lot of sense. I would do Jeff Fisher again, dude. Honestly, like, I know everybody would hate that, but give me Jim Schwartz. He's my favorite pick.
I think more people would sign up for Jeff Fisher than you think. Thanks, Adam. Here's what I'll say. I like Jim Schwartz. But in that scenario, I would rather have Arthur Smith. And I know I said earlier that, you know, I kind of want the defensive guy. But, like, you know, Arthur Smith or Jim Nagy, if they were the head coach, I'm not going to hate that either. I would rather have, if I'm going to get Jim Schwartz, Art come in and be the head coach, and then Jim Schwartz as the DC.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't mind it.
I don't think Jim Schwartz wants to be a head coach again.
He's a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator.
Yes.
There's not a lot of those in the world. So, yeah, I mean, it would make good sense. I think he'd come out. I mean, the pressure from a head coach to a coordinator is night and day. I mean,
yeah.
There's still a lot of pressure there, but not as much as a head coach. But I think Schwartz would be great. I mean, he's in Cleveland now. They're probably not going to retain that staff to be gone looking for a job. I mean, there are some bright things ahead for the Titans if they get the right staff here. It could be really good, and that could be with Art Smith, with Jim Schwartz as his DC. You know, Matt Nagy could bring in a good DC. I mean, there's some things here. Here's the main thing. You got to get it right. You got one chance at this. You're moving to a stadium. You don't want to fire another coach in 26 when you're moving to a stadium in 27. So this next hire, this head coach, you have to nail this.
Yeah.
To use a baseball analogy, you have to hit a grand slam on your next hire. You just have to.
So, I mean, all right, so let's do this. Let's ask the people. If it's Arthur Smith, Robert Saleh, or Matt Nagy, I almost said Jim Nagy, Matt Nagy, if it's one of those three, and if there's a fourth that you want to throw in, Joe, then feel free. But if it's one of those three, is that the grand slam that the Titans need? We can throw McCarthy in there, too.
How about 1, 2, 3, and then anybody else?
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, I'm Art Smith all day.
Because the reason I say those three is we've said, we both, in no particular order, say our top three is Arthur Smith, Matt Nagy, or Robert Saleh.
Yeah. I'm Art Smith all the way. I think he can come in here and develop Cam Ward, can hire the right staff, and go forward. Well, but Joe, in Atlanta, he wasn't that good. Well, he was a first-time head coach, and most of those guys don't succeed very well. I mean, look at Fisher, 95, 96, 97, 98, they were average.
Yep.
But they built towards something. So when they hit in 99 and 2000 and 02 and 03, they had a good foundation of guys. So don't expect the next coach to win the Super Bowl, but you build up. Art went through the hell in Atlanta as a head coach. He knows now not to open that door and open this door. So I think he'd be – but you have to hire somebody that's been a head coach. You have to. Have to.
All right, 8955 says no, no, and no. And I just responded with, so who? So tell me who. If you say no to those three, then who? That's fine. 9013 says, please go get Mike Tomlin, please. He's employed by the Steelers.
Yeah, he's.
Would I sign up for that? Sure, absolutely. But he's got a team that's on the verge of making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going anywhere. I mean, if he does, it's going to be his decision, and I think he'd be done.
I mean, he's been in Pittsburgh 19 years, one of the best coaches ever. Does he really want to come to Nashville? Would you not want to take a break for a year or two and like, oh, I need to sit this thing out? That's what I think. If I'm Mike Tomlin, that's what I do.
You also have the crowd like Wes in Clarksville saying, well, this is funny too. Good thing about getting Fisher again is people can't complain about him going 8-8 since there are 17 games.
Yes.
He says, I also don't think Arthur was all that here. He had Henry.
Okay, and that's his fault?
Yeah.
There's another stat I hate. Chase McCabe carried the ball 8 times for 100 yards, but he had a 91-yard touchdown. But if you take that away, he was 7-for-9. You can't take that away.
Right.
You can't take that away because you did a 91-yard run. Art Smith had Derrick Henry here. You can't take that away from him. It's not Art Smith's fault. One of the stupidest arguments of all time is like, well, Joe Montana had Jerry Rice and John Taylor. That's Joe Montana's fault? He had those guys? Okay, big deal. Who cares? So stop with that nonsense.
Mark in Nashville says, let's go with a young offensive guy, Clint Kubiak. They've tried that. It didn't work.
Yeah, as a coordinator, great.
Yeah.
Come to town, Clint.
Yeah.
But you ain't the head coach. Sorry.
David in Paris says, can't be bringing in your buddies or family unless they're proven winners.
The second coaching time, you don't do that.
Yeah.
John McClain has famously said on our show, the first time these guys get head coaching jobs, like, hey, Chase, remember we worked together at Glanville State? Come with me. I got you. Hey, Jakey Bay, remember we coached together at Sanford? Hey, man, come on. That's what the first staff is, and you get fired.
Think of it like this. It's like the president. Term one is you take care of campaign promises and people that helped you along the way. Term two, you actually bring in right people and start getting stuff done.
Right?
I mean, that's really
analogy.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
It's it's kind of the same deal. And like, that's why these assistant coaches, like, everybody's complaining about the assistant coaches that got an extension. They get two-year contracts because everybody knows that if a coach lasts past that two-year point, they're probably going to fire their buddies and they're going to bring in people that actually know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unless you're Mike Vrabel, then then you kind of keep doing it.
I mean, there's a lot of familiarity with these coaches, and it's fine because there's not a lot of great coaches in the world and what goes on. But this next hire, the Titans have to get it correct. I mean, you have to get it correct because you're moving into a huge stadium in 27. You got to be competitive. Everything's got to line up to you moving to that stadium in 2027.
We'll continue this coming up next. A lot of you weighing in on the text line. We'll also get back to our question of the day. We're live today at ML Rose in Englewood, East Nashville. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at ML Rose here in Englewood off Gallatin Road. Nice crowd here today. Does anybody work anymore? I'm just curious, all right? Stephanie, the hostess, what are you eating over there, Stephanie? Is that a pizza? Oh, okay. It looks good there. Welcome back. Come by and see us. We're here till 3 o'clock today hanging out. And to my friends, stop sending me pictures of the most underrated candy bars that are only available during Halloween. I made the mistake of mentioning that Crackle was the best candy bar out there that you can only get during this time. And then all the other ones come in. An underrated candy bar this time of year, Mr. Goodbar. Mr. Goodbar. That guy still hanging out, making things happen. All these years later, so you get the candy tonight when you go out trick-or-treating and having a good time. If you're out trick-or-treating tonight, make sure you get all the candy and do all that. But we had the 100 Grand Bar, the Crackle, Mr. Good Bar, which what makes Mr. Good Bar so good? Does he care about you? That's my question. Does he truly care about you? So Kit Kat's always around. And now let's welcome now Chase McCabe to the show.
Is Mr. Goodbar related to Mr. Goodwrench? Are they cousins?
Cousins.
Okay, gotcha.
Because Mr. Goodwrench is a heck of a dude. But so yeah, I get friends like, what about Crackle? What about 100 Grand Bar? What about Kit Kat and all that? I mean, you get all these things tonight. If I had to die by chocolate, I would die by Butterfinger.
Oh, that's
miniature Butterfingers, the mini ones, are the absolute best. I literally could eat 100 of those.
By the way, a friend of mine on Instagram sent this video that somebody did of a trick-or-treating for adults. And it's these guys that, like, they come in and they have their costumes. They're like, all right, what'd you get? And it's like a muscle relaxers, and like ibuprofen, Tums. It's like, man, yes. I got an insurance card. Like, it was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, trick-or-treating, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Growing up. It was a huge deal growing up. And then you have kids of your own. You're like, oh, this is fun. Now it's like, don't knock on my door. Turn the light off. Yeah, turn the light off. Get out of here.
I can see you being like, the light off means go away.
Yeah. One year, this was years ago, we had set out candy on the – because we went trick-or-treat with JJ, and we sent all these Butterfingers out on the porch. So take one if you come in. So we get there home like 2 hours later, and all the Butterfingers are gone. But all the wrappers are in the yard. And what happened? The neighbor's dog came down. So everybody's like, oh, that dog's going to die. And we called. We said, hey, what happened? And I said, hey, where's the dog? I forget her name. And the owner's like, yeah, she's out back and she's busy. And she's been busy for the last hour. She ate every Butterfinger and pooped all the Butterfingers and the wrappers out. So I got blamed for it. So I was like, you ate? I said, no, I didn't. The dog across the street ate all the Butterfingers. Stop that. Crazy, Mike.
That's a good one. 615-737-1025. Mark wants to weigh in. Mark, what's up?
What's up, Chase? Big Joe.
Not much, man. How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, long time. I hadn't talked to y'all in a long time. But, Big Joe, I said a thing, Chase, saying to Clint Kubiak. But, man, why do y'all want these recycled coaches coming back? Why would you want Nagy? Nagy doesn't call plays at Kansas City. Andy Reid does that. Why would you want the ex-coach of Green Bay? Recycled coach. Tomlin's not going to come here. Why not go get a Joe Brady? Joe Brady's done a hell of a job with Josh Allen. You saw what he done with Joe Burrow down there at LSU. He does call plays.
Mark, let me stop you right here. Mark, you could coach Joe Burrow. You could coach Josh. Those are good quarterbacks. Joe Brady is a play caller. I'm all about it. As a head coach, I do not want a first-time guy as a head coach.
I want an experienced head coach, Mark. That's what I'm looking for.
I understand that. Big Joe, I understand that. But why would you want Arthur Smith? He couldn't do a thing with quarterbacks down in Atlanta.
Because he messed up. I think he gets it now. I think he was told.
I don't think he had one.
I think he went through all that. You got to do this and do that. And he's like, yes, sir, yes, sir. I think if he had to do different, I guarantee you, Mark, and you make great points, that Art Smith would say, I'm going to do it this way because I know this way works, not your way. And it goes that I just need somebody who's been through the fire. That's it.
Yeah, but you know, Big Joe or Chase, Cam Ward's going to need a guy that can take him to the next level.
Yep.
I think those guys like Kafka with the Giants, what he's doing with Jackson Dart, I think those kind of guys can take it to another level with Cam Ward. I mean, at some point, you got to give them guys a shot, Joe. They're
yeah, but we did
shot.
That. Mark, we did that with Callahan. He was supposed to be the quarterback guy who's worked with Stafford and Manning and Derek Carr and all these guys. He was terrible. So Kafka could come here.
He was a fraud.
Right. So Kafka could come here, but you're going to be an offensive coordinator. You are not going to be the head coach.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Joe. But going back to Callahan, he was a fraud, man. And it showed. It showed with him.
Yep.
But I think those other guys would be good coaches. They may not get a job here, but I'm just throwing it out there to y'all, man. But, hey, y'all have a good day. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. It's good to hear from you.
Makes great points. That's a great point.
No, he does. And, look, I think I am in the – I think there's a group like Mark that is just like, hey, I want a young coach. I want somebody that, you know, his developed quarterbacks. Now, you know, the difference, and you were on this train very early – between the guys he named, you know, Kafka, Joe Brady, and there was one other. I forgot who the other one was. But they've called plays.
Yeah.
Callahan never called plays.
Nope.
So that is fair. But I want an experienced head coach because I think there are too many examples of guys that, you know, get the second job and they realize, you know, things that they could have come differently. I mean, look at New England right now. My guess is there's a couple of things that he's doing the same way that he did here, and there's a couple of things that he might have changed his tune on.
Right.
You know,
learning.
Because that's called growth. That's learning as a coach. I mean, yes, he's still got some of his buddies, you know, coaching on the coaching staff.
Right.
But they're not in, like, Hotelin, who was the offensive line coach here. He's the assistant there. He's got head coaches on the roster, on his coaching staff that are helping him out.
Here's an example. How long have you been program director?
Almost 4 years.
Are you different today than you were day one?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you've been through the fire. I mean, you grow. You've been through the fire, and you know things. And that's get these guys a second chance to do things, and then they'll be fine. Thank you. Have a good day. that's the thing is that I don't want to first. We just went through the first time guy.
Yeah.
And you saw the result. It was terrible.
The last two head coaches of this team have been first time head coaches. One worked, one didn't.
Yep. And I think it worked because Vrabel was a player's coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he had been through the fire of being in the NFL and done all that as a player. I mean, that's a huge advantage for him. Fisher was a defensive coordinator for the 49ers and for the Eagles. I mean, there was a lot of things. So
he was the first-time head coach.
But look at what he did.
Yeah, right.
Callahan did none of that.
And look at some of the people.
How the hell did Callahan get on anybody's radar?
Look at some of the people he worked with, too. I mean, Jeff worked with Buddy Ryan, George Seifert.
Chuck Knox.
I mean, he played for Ditka.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, he worked with some people with a ton of experience and a pedigree.
Yeah.
You know, Mularkey. Mularkey's one that worked with Bill Cowher and, you know, countless others.
I love this Mularkey. Like, oh, Mularkey. Mularkey got the Titans to win a playoff game on the road for the first time in 14 years.
I'll use another presidential analogy on this. When somebody says the best former president of all time, they're usually referring to Jimmy Carter, right? Because of what he did out of office.
Yep.
You know? But Mike Mularkey, that his stint as the coach looks better and better the longer it goes.
Yeah.
The longer you get removed from it. Yeah. So maybe not a perfect analogy, but you know what I'm saying.
I get it, but Mike Mularkey still has the honor of being the most bizarre press conference I was not there. I watched it, but it was after the Kansas City game.
Yeah, when he kind of knew he was going to get fired.
I'm getting no support from the general manager, and the owner. And then we're going on the road next week to take on the Patriots. I mean, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What did I turn the wrong channel? What happened here? And then he quit the next week. He never been back to football. But I thought Mularkey righted the ship in a huge way and set it up good for Vrabel.
He did. I mean, the culture was set. The culture was set up.
Good times.
And then Vrabel took over. Doug wants to weigh in. Doug, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, man. I've been wanting to hesitate on this coaching decision, but I've got to go with you guys. I want to see a head coach. I don't care if he has quarterback coaching knowledge. And the reason I say this is because I don't know what Callahan said in the interview, but I know myself. I've never failed an interview, and I may not have even known what I was doing, but I'm passing the interview. I'm killing it. But I know to put good people around me to take care of me. The head coach be somebody that can do something besides coach a quarterback. We've seen Callahan in situations where he didn't even know when I'm out. And we saw last week when you didn't even know to go for it on fourth down.
Right.
That comes from not being a good coach. Not because you're a quarterback guru. And I think that's where we're at. We're trying to bring up-and-coming guys to be in a position they're not groomed for. Heck, I was a supervisor, and I didn't know anything about what I was doing. But I kept everybody right, kept everybody focused. I talked to the guys and said, hey, this is what I need. I provided it. I had discipline, and I had rules and regulations. That's what a head coach does, and he makes the final decision because he's seen enough of the broad spectrum to know how to lead the troops to war and to eventually have a win. So Callahan could kill anybody. You know,
you're right.
But down to putting the rubber on the road, that's where he failed. We're talking about timeout. You know, they're talking about we're talking practice. No, we're talking timeout.
Right.
That's all I got, fellas.
I appreciate you. Real quick before we go to the break, these are the list of the AP NFL Assistant Coach of the Year winners going back 12 years. 2014, Todd Bowles, and Chase, you rate these as head coaches. Todd Bowles was Coach of the Year, defensive coordinator in Arizona. How's he as a head coach?
I actually think Todd Bowles is a pretty good coach.
2015, Wade Phillips.
Good regular season coach.
2016, Kyle Shanahan.
Pretty good coach.
2017, Pat Shurmur.
He was the coach of the year?
Yep, 2000. Assistant. These are AP NFL Assistant Coach of the Year winners.
Bad head coach.
2018, Vic Fangio.
Bad head coach.
2019, Greg Roman.
Never been a head coach.
2020, Brian Daboll.
I don't think he's a good – he's not a good head coach with the team he's with.
Okay.
But he might be one of those examples that gets another shot.
2021, Dan Quinn, Coach of the Year, Assistant Coach of the Year.
I think he's pretty good.
2022, D'Amico Ryans, Assistant Coach of the Year.
Jury's still out.
2023, NFL Top Assistant Coach of the Year, Jim Schwartz.
Really good assistant.
2024, NFL Assistant Coach of the Year, Ben Johnson.
We'll see.
So, like anything else, it's all hit and miss.
Yeah.
You just don't know till it happens. But off that list, I mean, Ben with the Bears, D'Amico Ryans with the Texans is doing well. Dan Quinn's got Commanders fighting. Daboll, I mean, we've seen nice and bad from that guy. Greg Roman's never been a head coach, although he's with the Chargers now. Is that where he is? I think so. He's always following John Harbaugh, usually, or Jim Harbaugh. Fangio, no idea. Pat Shurmur, no idea. Shanahan with the Niners. Todd Bowles is with the Buccaneers.
615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the hour with getting back to our question of the day, which is the scariest athlete of all time in honor of Halloween. Who'd you say?
Conrad Dobler.
Okay, and I said Reggie White. But there are several others. 615-737-1025. We're live at ML Rose in Inglewood today. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Oh, yes.
Oh, this is a good one. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday at ML Rose in Englewood, East Nashville. The East Side, Adam Vingan has been nice enough to stop by because he may have walked here. I don't know. He lives right down the street, so he drove. But they'll be coming up in a little over an hour for DVD on this Friday. So what you got, Big Joe?
There is a this affects me. That's why I'm mad. Disney channels have gone dark on YouTube TV after the media giants failed to resolve carriage issues, which means I have YouTube TV. I cannot see Vanderbilt, Texas tomorrow or Tennessee and Oklahoma, and I'm not happy about it. And this is BS, and we all know. So if you have YouTube TV, know right now, and I don't mean to ruin your weekend, you're not going to get any ESPN ABC games this weekend because these two sissies are fighting each other.
Yep. Well, you know what you need to do?
Go to a sports bar.
Go to ML Rose.
Right.
And watch all their TVs, and they'll have it on.
Yeah. I hope they don't have YouTube TV. I mean, this is just nonsense.
No, they don't.
This is nonsense.
I don't get this either, because we go through this every year. One of these service providers gets into a pissing match with, you know, something. And it's just like, y'all know. Like, we all know you're going to get this figured out, so get it figured out where this doesn't happen.
Yep. I mean, it's a huge – every Saturday in the fall is a huge weekend, and I'm going to have to get out and go find someplace and sit with the peasants and watch Vanderbilt
and also,
in Texas.
And another thing, why does this stuff always come up during football season?
You know why? They're not dumb.
Like –
But I saw this morning, I'm like, oh, Disney and YouTube are fine.
So you know what's going to happen at around 9 o'clock tonight.
We'll get it done.
They'll get a deal done.
That's fine. But I'm seeing – when I saw Disney, I'm like, oh, I don't care. I don't watch – my kids are old. I don't watch
ESPN,
Disney anymore. I don't care.
ABC.
And then you read down. There it is. Yep. Disney and ABC, ESPN, YouTube, contract.
But Joe, you can go pay $30 a month for the all-new ESPN app, and then you get all those things.
Is this what this – I mean, this what forcing me to do?
Yeah,
I mean, basically. I think ESPN does college football perfectly.
You know what I would do?
Perfectly.
If I was you, I would go down to Walmart and buy an antenna and plug that into your TV because then you can watch ABC. And you can watch Vanderbilt.
I think
you can watch Vanderbilt and Tennessee. They're both on ABC tomorrow.
Are they?
Yeah.
Tennessee's not on ESPN?
I think. Let me look.
Oh,
you may be right. You may be,
I hope not.
I may be crazy, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. It is ABC. So both are on ABC.
Yes. Okay. I have an antenna. I can get it. I can get it earned. I don't mind that. But
yeah.
And I'll figure out.
I've actually considered. That's what I've considered doing, is paying for the ESPN app, and then an antenna. Because the only thing that I would, because I did a NFL Plus add-on too, so I get the NFL network and everything. But like the only thing I would really lose is FS1.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't watch a lot.
No, and I got rid of Netflix. I don't watch any of that, you know. And I got Amazon. I don't. Apple TV came free with my phone, so I'll do that. But
yeah.
But this just bugs me because I get annoyed. I don't get mad. Mad's different. I get annoyed, and that's worse to me. I get annoyed.
Yeah. Well, no, I've seen you annoyed.
I can't stand it.
Yeah, it's. I get annoyed.
Yeah, and so that's the part about this is that
avoid the noise.
They got to come together and figure it out. I don't care about the NFL because I can find the Titans on CBS or someplace else or Fox. That happens, but because they ain't going to be on ESPN and get away with it. But yeah, as we enter November, there's Vanderbilt Texas game tomorrow is monumentally huge for Vanderbilt if they want to make the college football playoffs. Huge.
Wayne in Hoptown says, not only football, Joe, talk about how to watch the Preds on YouTube TV. That's another thing. They don't have FanDuel TV
have
on
FanDuel.
YouTube.
I haven't seen a Preds game on TV
in
forever.
I'm just gonna say it, and they know this, but like that's I've seen other teams figure it out. They gotta figure that out.
Yeah.
And I know there's contracts and stuff that they're kind of, you know, handcuffed to right now, but like this old FanDuel TV, it's fine. Like, I obviously love the job that Willie and everybody does with it, but it's just figuring out how to watch it is a pain.
I just wish they
and would. It's a disservice to the Predators. It's a disservice to the Braves, the Grizzlies, all the teams around here. And they got to come up with some sort of solution, whether it's, you know, the Southeastern teams getting together and starting their own network, or the individual teams starting their own network, or what have you. But, like, you know, I have Xfinity, and I don't get FanDuel because otherwise I have to pay, like, an extra $40 a month for the top-tier package just to get FanDuel TV. And I'm like, I'm not doing it.
No, I don't blame you at all for doing that. And I wish – I know. I don't know if any team does it around the country in basketball, baseball, or hockey, but – wouldn't it be great if those games were on local TV every game?
Yeah.
To me, that's how I became a Braves fan.
Yep.
Those games were always TBS. On. I know it was cable. I get all that. But still, I could watch it. There was no bitching about where you could find the game or anything. It was there. And so I think you could build. I think Phoenix is doing something with the Phoenix Suns where all their games are on local TV.
Yeah.
And so I think, and like, well, you're not going to go to the game on TV. That's such garbage. You'll go to the game when you go to the game. But if I could turn on and see the team, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, they're watching. I'm watching it. I'd watch it. But now I can't find it. Can't find where they are.
Well, if you want to go to the game, be listening. We'll give away tickets to tomorrow's game.
Ooh.
In hour number 3 against the Calgary Flames. It's also the Golden Hall with Pete Weber and Terry Crisp. So we'll give away some tickets to the Preds.
Nice.
In just
okay.
a little bit. And also Michelle Kennedy going to join us at the bottom of the next hour. Well, more coming in hour number 3 live from ML Rose in Inglewood. It's Chase and Big Joe on just Halloween. 102.5 The Game.